I thought we would take on the book of Revelations tonight since we finished one chapter of Psalms. I think we can get through the whole book in one evening. That's a joke. So glad that you were here tonight. Give you a little update on a couple of things. It's always fun when you have a guy like Stuart who is here all the time and then he's not here for a while. And so I'll just tell you the real rumor is he's lazy. He's at home in his recliner. I don't know what he's doing, eating Bluebell ice cream, but he had vacations. I think there was a trip planned for Israel, and so what he did is he kept that vacation. He's not retiring. I could only be so wishful, thankful. Hey, I love him. I know he's watching. This is why I'm going to get a little wild. Because the last week, I was getting text messages of everything I was saying wrong, and it's so encouraging. Actually, I love him to death, me and him. We spar, we argue, and then we go and have a lot of fun and do all kinds of things. He's a great man, and he will be back, I hope, next week, because I will not be back next week with this. So that is where he is. He is at home. He took vacation for that time. So just to let you know that, where he is on that. So thank y'all for being here tonight. Thank you for being here. You know, if you were here last week, we were in Psalms 33. And we did what my granddaddy said. We shucked some corn and we did the whole book, the whole chapter of Psalms 33. If you remember, at the end of that chapter, there was a verse there that it said in Psalms 33, it ended with this: our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. And then it says in the last verse, let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us. And I thought, you know, I kept going back to that verse. I told you I camped out in Psalms 33 for a while. And as I kept going back to that verse, I always ended up there. Oh, Lord, let your steadfast love be upon us. And as I was thinking about tonight and where we were and what we were doing, and I was thinking about where we are in the life of our church, and I just think about the steadfast love that God has shown us. I see it every day. Stories of people that were in Bible study last week that were lost, that went home and heard the sermon and came back and says, I want to know that Jesus. I want to see who he is. And you get to see the light of that just right back here. People tell us they got to lead their friends to the Lord. And we're seeing this everywhere we have. And so I've been resting in this, so let your steadfast love be upon us. But then I always go back to remember that why I need God's steadfast love. Because, you know, when we have Christ in us, then we know we have the ultimate helper that we can have, and that's Jesus Christ. And that he's taken everything, and he has made it new, and he's made it whole, and he's forgiven us of all of our sins. And so many times, I get caught up in what that I'm failing in what God wants me to do because of sin, because of how fast-paced life is, because of having a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old and a wonderful wife that still, you just get caught up in life. And I remember this, and so the other night, Audra and I were reading the Bible together, and we go to Lamentations chapter 3. And we're going to camp out there. We're not going to do the whole chapter tonight. But I want you to go to chapter 3, verse 17. And this is going to be able to talk about God's steadfast love, and there's going to be things that are there. But I don't know if you're like me. I've had a weird day. I've had a weird week. You know, when God is on the move in a place like Sagemont Church, guess who else rears their head? Satan does. And so when God is moving, we get all, thank you for your steadfast love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your strength. And then on this hand, Satan is just beating the tar out of you. And he's just coming with all full force. You know, that's probably one of the worst things that we've done. It's the greatest thing we've done. But we teased Satan a couple of Sundays ago by putting those 369 names up on that screen and celebrating God for that. And because now he's like, gosh, man, that's bad. And so then what he does to me, I don't know about you, but what he does to me is he comes in and he starts messing with my mind. You remember those days when you were in affliction? Do you remember those days when you were in sin? Do you remember those days when you didn't love me well? You remember those days, and Satan, when you didn't love God well? Remember those days when you loved the world more than you loved God? Remember the days when you were more concerned with change in your life than you were with what God wanted you to do? And when you look at this book, chapter 3, it's of a guy who is remembering all of his afflictions. And if you go from verse 1 to verse 17, it's talking about all of this heartache that he's had in his life. And that he's walled things up, and that you know, look at the very first verse. I am the man who has affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. And he's talking about how this affliction is on his life. And so I go back to remember the steadfast love. And we get to like verse 17. He gets down to a place where he's totally hopeless. He says, I've forgotten what happiness is. Have you ever been there? Have you just been so caught up in this world that you just forget what happiness is? That when you turn this way, you go, nope, can't face that. There's unhappiness down that way. Nope, I can't go this way. There's unhappiness that way. Nope, I can't go this way. There's unhappiness that way. And it goes on to say, I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. Have you been there? Where you're at, you don't have happiness, and so you're completely wore out because of all these things that have been affliction, and you've been fighting these battles on your own, and that's what happens to me. I begin to fight them on my own, and I forget about God's steadfast love. So I say my endurance has perished, so has my hope in the Lord. Have you ever been there? I have. Yeah. There's times in my life where the hope in the Lord, I forgot what even that was. When you wake up and your dad's a great Baptist minister that tells you, Matt, you were an accident. That's what you were. My oldest sister could be my mom. My mom had me when I was 38 years old. When she was 38 years old, my oldest sister, at times she would come in and people would think, that's my mom. And I remember looking at that, how does this happen? And I remember, and Satan brings these words into my mind at times like weeks into day when the affliction is so hard. And he goes, my hope in the Lord is not there. But then we get to verse 18. He goes, I'm remembering my affliction and my wonderings. And it isn't God. We get mad at God sometimes, don't we? We get in this position, unhappiness. Our hope in the Lord is gone. We think we're alone. And we get into that. And we say to this, that my endurance has perished. And then we go, this is what he reminds, my wonderings, not God. God never left me. He never took his hope from me. My wonderings took it away. The wormwood and the gall, I remember. And then he gets to verse 20. It says, my soul continually remembers it, and it is bowed down within me. This is what he says. I remember what it was like to be afflicted. I remember what it was like not to have hope. I remember what it was like to be so tired, so wore out. I remember what it is like to do that. And he says, my soul continually remembers it, and it's bowed down within me. And then this is so cool. Verse 21. But this I call to mind. I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. So when we're in this place of affliction, and when we're in this place of hopelessness, in this place of, God, are you there? God, where are you? God, how are you going to get me through this? God, is it going to be possible? God, will I ever get a break? God, is money going to come? Is a new job? Is my spouse and I going to ever get along? Is my kids going to make it? What is going to happen? And it says, then I bring this to mind, and therefore I have hope. It says this. The steadfast love of the Lord, what? Never ceases. And we have to remind ourselves. That's why we come to church. That's why we have groups. That's why we have iConnects. That's why we have our senior adult groups, is that when we're in this hopeless state and you think, man, I'm saved, I can't get there. That's you can. We, if we're honest with ourselves, there's times we come and put a great smile on here. We put this great face, everything's okay, and deep down we are just about to lose it. We're on our last thread. And that's why we walk into this place, is so that we can remember what the hope is, that we remember, therefore I have hope. The steadfast of the Lord never ceases. It never ceases. And so some of us in this room, you're like, man, I've already been there. That was teenage years. That was 10 years ago in a divorce. 10 years ago when I was about to lose my business. Whatever that was, I've already been there. And some of you are already in verse 22. You're sitting there going, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And what we have as a reminder of this, and you understand as the body of Christ in this room here, is not to make sure that all of us are following all the rules. Do you get that? I don't like that. It's not our job to walk into this room and make sure that everybody is following every one of the rules. Our job is to know that our steadfast love it never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. It's to remind each other, not about the rules, but it's to look and say, sister, it's gonna be okay. Brother, it's gonna be okay. His steadfast love endures forever. Let me tell you about the time that it happened. Let me tell you where I was. It never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. You know, when we talked about joy last week, we talked about worship. I've been really thinking about this. I've been thinking about where we are, where we go, and how we worship. And do I worship God outside of a worship center, outside of this? How do I do that? And when I read verses like, his mercies never come to an end, it should make me just shout for joy. Because we have hope. We have hope. We have this steadfast love that never ceases. Does it go to sleep? The word never. What in this world can we say that it never happens and put our assurance in? What is the one thing in this world? I can't think of, I can't say that. There's not many things that you can put the word never in front of. We used to do it as a kid. Oh, I'll never do that again. I'll never move to Houston. I'll never go back in the ministry. I'll never do this. If those all fell, but when we come to the Lord and we come to God, we can say that his steadfast love, when it comes to God, that's one of the only things that you can count on, that it is always solid. It never ceases. And so when you can't find it in your life, you're not looking in the right place. You've ceased. You've paused. You've chosen to go to the world. Does that mean God doesn't love you? No. Why? How do I know that is? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Guys, I want to tell you something. There's a generation that has no clue what that means. That's right down in that gym. They can't begin to define what love is. Love is completely connected to feelings. Love is completely connected to what somebody does for them. Love is completely connected to how they're being treated. I was in youth ministry for a long, long time. And it hasn't changed much. Students and youth and this generation, they don't even understand what steadfast is. Steadfast doesn't mean fast, it means it's long lasting. The average attention span of a fifth grader is less than 5 minutes. That's the truth. That's why they put video games to change every scene 27 seconds. There's a purpose. There's a reason why. They want it fast, they want it furious, and they want it brand new every day. And here's this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And so when I go and I sit my son Derek down and I say, son, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, okay. It's like a goldfish in a fishbowl. Oh, castle. Oh, castle. Oh, castle. And they just swim around in that same fishbowl because they don't ever remember the castle's there. And you look at that and in that, it's beginning to break my heart. It's beginning to me said is that we have a generation that parents worried more about their success, worried more about friendship, worried more about their feelings than they worried about loving their kids. And so we look at that and I go, well, what do I have to do with that? I've got my own two, Bella and Derek, and I look at that and I'm like, how do I explain steadfast love? How do I do that? And then the best way that I know how, I try to let them know that I love them no matter what. No matter what. Not always happy with them. Not always best. Not always proud of them at times. But I always love them. Always love them. Don't always agree with what they're doing. But I always love them. And at the end of the day, we have a generation that don't have parents that know how to do that. That their parents don't care. They don't know what mercies new never come to an end, that God's mercies never come to an end. So I get into that and I look at that and I say, how does this happen? And I have hope because God says he never ceases. And so I know God is going to do something in this generation. And I know that God is going to do that. And I believe it's going to happen sooner than later. Because I know there's hope for it. I know that God is at work. I'm going to brag on my daughter for a couple of minutes here. Please don't tell her I said this. She'll want a new dog or a horse or something. That's a story for another time. Sell a horse and get a dog that's more expensive. It's crazy. That's what's happening to a 14-year-old daughter. But Bella had to write a paper for school. And if I talked about Bella for a little bit, she had to write. Bella's had a learning disability, high anxiety, was supposed to go to a school with people that had 10 or 12 people in the classroom, and at the end that fell through and ended up at Clear Lake High School that has 2,500 students, and they all go to lunch at the same time, and it was a flipped out thing, and Come to find out, God is steadfast love never ceases. And he gave a assistant principal that I didn't even know goes to this church, Mr. Troyer, to us, and he has allowed my daughter to love that school. In her first paper she wrote, my daughter also, she showed chickens in for FFA, and she was really good at it, and she won quite a bit of money that I never saw. Terrible. But she had to write a paper on one of the best things in life that's ever happened to her. And Audra took a picture of it and sent it to me. And it said, I'm going to paraphrase it because if I start going to read it, I won't ever get through it. But it said, I started to write my paper on what I thought was the best day of my life. It was at the Travis County Livestock Show and Rodeo, where I had worked relentless hours raising a steer and her chickens. And the judge came by and gave me grand champion for my birds. And then it said, and then I realized that wasn't the best day of my life. And she went on to write, she had to read this in front of her class. Then when she was 4 or 5 years old, Audra, who's a lot better than me, a lot more spiritual, would go read the Bible every night to Bella and Derek. And she says, I remember sitting on the side of my bed, my mother reading the Bible to me. And I asked her, I want to know that Jesus. And Bella went on for the rest of the paper, 2 pages long, explaining how she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And here's the deal. The hope that we have is that if it isn't for people, I've got a little soapbox here, but just this will all tie in. Stuart will have a mini text, but this will all tie in. That if we are a church and we are an older generation that does not show the steadfast love of Christ, they're not going to see it. They're not going to see it. And we have a huge duty to do that. For you to look and say, you know what? There's kids down there right now that need to hear this. I know that your mom and dad don't even live together. I know that some of you can't even go into the house of your mom and dad because of legal reasons. But I want to tell you, I might have been there too. But let me read this to you. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercy never come to an end. In the new, they are new every single morning. They are new. And God has given each one of us in this older generation for a reason, a story to be able to share to somebody else that's not your age, that could be. But I totally believe that as younger, to say, you need to know that. That his mercies are new. Every single morning you'll be new. And his love never ceases, and his mercy never come to an end. And great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. You know, there's so many times that I look at that and I see what God is doing, and it grieves me. It grieves me that Derek, my son in middle school, we invite friends over and, oh, your mom and dad live together. Yeah, God's steadfast love endures forever. Ask Audra. She knows. And so I challenge us, there's 2 things tonight. We're going to do something towards here in just a minute. But the 2 challenges is this. Is that if you're in here hurting, no matter how old you are, no matter what it is, there's times that some of you have lost spouses and children, and you've lived a lot of life. And when you get quiet in your room at home or in the car, you begin to wonder, where is God? And maybe your happiness is gone. Maybe because it isn't like it used to be. The days are different. Remember this. God's steadfast love is there. It's chasing you. He wants it. There's some of you in this room that, like I said, God's given you a crazy story. Maybe through your kids, or maybe it's you're living it right now. And he's saying, I don't give you my steadfast love so you can hoard it up and just have it forever, just for you to grow fat and just do what you want to do with it. But I give that to you so that you'll share it. And so you'll show it. And so you'll go tell people about it. And we're really good. We're guys, y'all are a great church. We're a good church. I love us. I love it. My kids love you. My kids talk about it all the time. They tell all those crazy hippies in Austin, you don't know what you're missing. And it's a great place. But man, I don't want to miss a generation. I don't want to miss it. That'd be a shame for me to end the last portion of my life. I'm not that old. Well, I am pretty old. I've lived a lot of, I think I'm in dog years, so I'm probably like 89 or 90. That's what I feel like sometimes. But to live that and go, man, my last part of my life, I was unhappy because of the changes. Or man, I wish it would have been like the old days. And not to say, don't miss the generation that needs the steadfast love and knowing who Christ is, and knowing what that is, knowing where they're at, and knowing how it's going to happen. So we have about 10 minutes left, and this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask us to do this. Just where you're at is just to bow your head real quick, and I want to ask this. We're going to pray. I'm going to lead you through a couple of prayer things. Might be a little unusual for you, but I believe that that's part of the way that we find God's steadfast love and we remember his mercies and his faithfulness. It's by recognizing and talking to him. So if you're here tonight, and nobody's looking because I want to pray this first section of this prayer. If you're here tonight, and you just say, Matt, I relate more with the first part of that chapter than the second. That I just can't get out of my afflictions and my hope for the Lord is just, I don't even know where it's at. And I'm just wondering. Nobody's looking. That's you. Just raise your hand. We're not going to point you out. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. We just want to pray for you. Just want to pray for you. Okay? Father, for those that are hurting, for those that are wondering, for those that are needing hope, Father, we pray. We pray, Father God, that they would find that in you, in your love and your steadfast love. Pray that. Now, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, just because we're that kind of people. If you have a child or a grandchild or a friend or a niece or a nephew that's in that generation that just really needs to know the steadfast love of Christ, would you just raise your hand? Nobody's going to call you out. There you go. And here's what I want you to do. Right there in your seat. God, he's seen all these hands, and this is what I want. I want everybody, if you want to pray out loud, that's fine, but I want to take a few moments, and I want you to pray that the people's hands that raised, whoever that represented, that tonight when they close their eyes, they will feel the steadfast love of God. And then when they wake up in the morning, they won't understand why their mercies are so new and refreshed. Can you pray that right now? And then I'll close this now. Just right where you are, pray for that. Then what I'm going to ask you to pray for next is I want you to pray for Cody, Miguel, Toby, Shelby, Chuck, Alista. Those are everybody that works with that generation down there. And I want you to pray that God would give them a supernatural way to show the steadfast love of our God. That people would see God in a new way. That those ministers' hearts would be renewed and strengthened. The next thing I want you to pray for is that we would be a church that cares about that generation. Let's pray that. That what we do, that we have a great time and we want to reach every age group, but that we'd also have a special place for the next generation. Last thing I want you to pray for is that God would continue to give yourself a heart for the next generation. Father God, when I think about where you have come, where you've taken me from and my afflictions and the pain and the sorrow that you took your son and you sacrificed him on a cross so that I may have hope, so that I may know your true steadfast love. Father, that has blown me away. And may that never get old in me. And Father, I pray and I thank you for Sagemont Church. I thank you for every individual that is in here that serves sacrificially, that gives sacrificially, that prays, that comes faithfully, that's raised their kids and their grandkids, that pray, that just love you relentlessly. I pray and I thank you for them. I thank you for the work that you have done, and I thank you for the work that you are going to continue to do. And Father, I pray right now that you give us a heart for the generation, for this younger generation that some don't even have moms and dads. Some don't know even anything outside of a feeling what love is. May they know your true love by what they see and by the actions that we have. May our actions speak louder than words. Father God, we pray that. We pray that so we can't help protect us, so that we just don't want to put slides on the screen and say, look, this is what's happened at Sagemont, but that we would go, Father, give us more because of your great name. May we boast in you and not in what we have done, but in what you have done. And Father, for those that are hurting in this room, for those that know people that are hurting, and for those that have grandkids and kids that are living in this generation, I pray that you raise them up as missionaries, that you give them, just like you send missionaries all over the world, that you'd send them to their school, you'd send them to their neighborhoods, to their baseball games, to their sports, to wherever it is, and they would just preach the gospel. They'd preach the love of Jesus Christ to their friends. We ask that, and when we get tired of praying that, and when we don't see great fruit, and we think that you're not moving and we don't see that, may we remember your steadfast love. May we remember that your mercies never come to an end. And may we remember your faithfulness to us. Father, may that continue to just drive us to love and care for you and your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen. All right, two couple of things before, little housekeeping things before we get out of here. We have our mowing crew, is this right? Our mowing crew, landscape crew, needs 3 people to ride a mower. They're going to put, oh gosh, I was going to volunteer. Now they need 3 to push a mower. Push a mower. It's easy. You can do it. It's not a problem at all. I wish I could be here, but you know what? Stuart's been out of town. He can come help with that. But 3 people to help with that on Saturday would be great to do that. Thank you for enduring me for the last 2 weeks. It's been good to be with you, and thank you so much. But I want you to know this. I really do. I want you to know this. I love your generation. I do. I love it. I was the youth minister that took the senior adults to the Gaithers. I loved it. And I love what y'all do. And don't ever think that Matt or any other staff person overlooks that or says, they're going out. We don't need you to go out. We love you. We appreciate you. And we need you for what God is doing. And we thank you and the blessing of that.